Good morning. How's everybody today? So glad you're all here. It's been a while since I spoke for you guys on a Sunday morning. So I was like, when was the last time? And I couldn't remember when. So I'm kind of nervous. But it's okay. It's okay. It'll be fine. I know we're missing some people. Some people are still on vacations. Some people are sick. We got a lot going on. But we're going to continue on. And I want to give you what the Lord's laid on my heart to talk about. And it might step on your toes a little bit, but that's okay. Because we all need that. Because it stepped on my toes as I was preparing this week. So we're going to, water is essential. Did you know that? Did you know water is essential in our life? And the older I get, the more I understand that. Liz has her water bottle with her everywhere she goes. But it is essential. And it's mentioned all throughout the Bible. And so we're going to read two different sets of scriptures today where it talks about water in some sort of way. And then we're going to break it down. So we're going to start reading in John 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9. John 5, 1 through 9. And as I said, water is spoke about all throughout the Bible, whether it be real water or it be spiritual water or whatever, but it's mentioned a lot. So this is just two different sets of scriptures where it talks about water in some sort of way. So John 5, starting with verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate Pool, which is Aramaic, is called Bethesda, or however you want to pronounce it. I'm terrible with pronunciations, but we're going with that. And which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. So there was this pool. I'm just going to break it down a little bit. So there's this pool of water that everybody thought had these magical powers. And there was this lame, paralyzed man who had laid there for, he'd been like that for 38 years. So he'd been laying there for a long time. Many sick and injured people would gather at this pool in hopes of healing. You know, maybe they were looking for hope of healing that was not real when they should have been going to God, right? Like, there's no magic to the waters. But anyway, so they didn't know for sure, but that's just what these people had hoped, these waters would do something for them. So, like I said, that one man had been there for 38 years. He suffered from a paralyzing condition for a very long time. And apparently visiting the pool was the only hope that he had. So, you know, that'd be a long time, 38 years, to hope that somebody's going to take you to this pool, right? I would probably give up after a year, just to be completely honest. But unfortunately, his paralyzing condition that he had paralyzed his life to the point that he did nothing but lay there in hopes that somebody else would help him. So Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" So, you know, Jesus, he didn't have to be there. He picked that one man in that whole colonnade area of where that man was laying. He picked the one man. Now, there was lots of people there that were the same way as this paralyzed man. But he went to the one man. And the man, whenever Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" He said, "Sir, I have nobody to put me in the pool." Oh, there's other ways. He thought that was the only way. So the crippled man assumed Jesus knew how things worked at the pool. And he explained to Jesus why it wasn't possible for him to be healed. The man couldn't think of any other way for his need to be met. He was like, you know, somebody's got to help me in, and somebody always gets down there in the pool before me. So the man's answers implied the popular belief that whoever stepped in immediately of that bubbling water of that pool, they'd be healed. And the sick man, he wasn't able to do that. He wasn't able to get there fast enough. And he was limiting being fixed, being healed by that water. And so, you know, he limited God's help. And I don't know if he knew God. I don't know if he ever heard of God. It's really no mention here if he knew of God. But he was limiting God's help. He thought the only way that he could be better and get over his paralyzation was through that water. You know, he limited how God could help him by his own ideas, not by what God could do. He put God in a human box. The pool is the only way I can be healed. So then Jesus tells him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He told the man to do what he could not do. He said, get your mat and walk. And again, for me, I'd probably be like, huh? What are you talking about? You know, being paralyzed, it was impossible for him to do that. Here's this man that just randomly came up to him and told him, pick up your mat and walk. At that moment, Jesus challenged that man to believe in the impossible. It was easy to imagine that the man's first reaction was, I can't do that. Because isn't that how we are? If we're pushed just a little bit out of our comfort zone, aren't we like, I can't do it. Nah, I can't do that. But he said, do it. Get up, pick your mat up and get up and walk. Something prompted him. So in the scripture that we just read, verses 8 through 9, and we'll read that again. It says, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. So in that scripture right there, do you see any word of hesitation? None. Jesus told him to pick up his mat, and at once he was cured and he got his stuff and walked. There was no hesitation at all there. So, you know, Jesus guided this man toward a response of faith. Yeah. He does that for us, yeah, if we'll let him. That's right. So once he was cured and he picked up his mat and started walking around, yeah, this happened because that man believed in Jesus. He had faith in Jesus. He knew that what he was saying happened. He did exactly what he told him to do, though a moment before it was impossible. Before Jesus walked in there where that pool was at, it was impossible. So we're going to pause there on that story. We're going to read our next scripture. The next scripture is John 4, 7 through 14. John 4, 7 through 14. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. If you've ever heard me speak before, I use it a lot. So sorry, but it's just so good, and it applies to me so well. John 4, 7 through 14. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Hallelujah. You know, what I love about this story and why I associate with it and connect with it so much is Jesus did not have to go to that well. He didn't have to come after me. He went there on purpose to meet that particular woman. Just like he went to that pool to meet that particular man. He went there to offer her living water that would change her life drastically. He offered her the living water that flows with goodness and love. And the one thing about living water is that it's moving. It's a source of water that never runs out. Jesus is a source of water that never runs out. And we all have the same opportunity. We've all been that woman at the well at one point. We've all needed him to come find us, to come to where we were, to point out things. Because if you know that story very well, he starts pointing things out to her. He pointed out her sins. We've all needed that at some point. And we all have that same opportunity of that living water. So now, let's relate both of these stories to a pond and a river. So the man at the pool became stagnant like a pond. You know, a pond is quiet and still, and it might appear peaceful from a distance, but when you get close, you notice the water is murky. There might be some algae on the surface. Sometimes it don't smell too good. Mosquitoes. I know about mosquitoes because they love me for some reason. Nothing flows in and out of a pond. It's just there. It's predictable. It has no movement, no life. Has limited impact. And it receives water only from one source, which is rain. So then, the woman at the well, she was met face to face with living water. Similar to a flowing river. Right. Flowing rivers are constantly moving, full of life, impacts everything around it, receives water from many sources, has outlets of streams, and it adds value to the land that it flows through. The water's moving, fresh, clean, and it's just so much better than a pond because it's flowing and it gives life. So Jesus will do the same thing for us. So let's relate these stories to us. The man by the pool, he had been left crippling, you know, in his life. He became that pond. He couldn't move. He was stagnant. He'd given up, became fully reliant on others. He was waiting for somebody to put him in the pool. And I don't know about you, but I allow things to cripple me, paralyze me. We allow circumstances to make us stagnant. And we're no different than that man by the pool. We're just sitting there waiting for somebody to help us. But you know, Jesus had other plans for that man, just as he has other plans for us. When our faith sits still and grows stagnant, we lose passion and joy and zeal. I'm going to ask my husband, Randy Perkins, to come up here. He's going to help me with an illustration. But if we are all pawns, if all we do is sit in one spot, or stand is what I'm doing. I'm not going to sit because I'm afraid I will not be able to get back up. But if we're a pawn, all that we can reach is what's right around us. Right? I can't reach Randy right now because I'm a pawn. I've become stagnant. Yep. But if we become flowing rivers, then you know what? I'm going to be able to touch him. I'm going to be able to touch Liz. I'm going to be able to touch. I can touch everybody if you're flowing rivers, which is what God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be a pond. He doesn't want us just to stand here in our own thing. Which, if you're like me, when you're going through a bunch of stuff, this is how you want to be. Yeah. You don't want to tell nobody. You want to keep it a secret. Right? I'm guilty. I'm so guilty. Like, this sermon stepped on my toes all week long. Because I've been very stagnant lately. Been right here with my own issues and my own problems. But Jesus, thank you, Randy. Appreciate you. Jesus does not want us to be a pond. He does not want us to be stagnant. He wants us to be flowing rivers. In the story of the woman at the well, he shows us what it's like to be a flowing river. As I mentioned, he didn't have to be at that well. He went there for the woman. He was not stagnant. He didn't stay in one location. Jesus flowed wherever he needed to go. And he went right to that woman. And he told her about the living water that he could give her. He flowed throughout wherever he needed to be. Took his disciples and his caravan. If you've ever watched Chosen, their numbers kept growing and growing and growing. But he would just go wherever people needed him. As Christians, we need to be that way. We don't need to be a pawn in our own space, doing our own thing, not worrying about other people. Because as I showed you, I couldn't touch Randy. I couldn't help Randy because it was all right here with me. So are you a pond or a river? That's my question to you, and I want you to think about that the rest of the time. Are you a pond or a river? Jesus never said that believers should become ponds. In John 7:38, he said, "Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." He didn't say they go around them. He said they will flow from within them. So that means you've got to be flowing too. You've got to be open. You've got to be flowing in motion. He didn't want that living water just to collect inside of us. He wants us to flow it out. God never intended his blessings to stop with us. Ooh. Let me repeat that. God never intended his blessings to stop with us. He blesses us so that we can bless someone else. He comforts us so that we can comfort others. He forgives us so we can forgive. He pours into us so that we can pour into others. Or you're going to be a pond where it goes nowhere. The greatest danger in the church, not talking about here, the church as a whole, is not persecution. It's stagnation. It's being stagnant. It's doing nothing. There's a lot of churches in this area. They do really well on the inside, not so well on the outside. They've become stagnant. They take care of their people, and there's nothing wrong with that because that is part of it too. But you've got to flow outside your church walls. When Christians stop flowing, they stop growing. I need to hear that. When we stop flowing, when we are all about us, we're not going to grow. We're going to stay exactly. It's kind of like your wheels just turning, not going anywhere. So when churches stop flowing, they stop reaching. They also stop growing. If you're all about the inside of the church, how are you going to get new people in? Because we've seen a lot of churches are dying out because they've not done their outreach. They've not tried to pull people in. They've taken care of their people on the inside. So when believers stop pouring out, they begin drying up spiritually. And it's true. And that's kind of where I have been as of late. You know, I'm pretty transparent. I usually talk about stuff that I'm dealing with. So here we go. So when we stop pouring out, we become dried up spiritually. And that can come from, you might be going through something physically. You might be going through something mentally. You might be having financial issues. You might be having a child that's run away. You know, like you're waiting for that prodigal child to come back home. There's a lot of things that can dry you out. And it's hard as believers to put on the mask, and I've talked about a mask a lot, but we do it so much. We put on the mask of everything is okay. Baloney. It's not. Everything is not okay. Amen. And it's okay not to be okay.
Amen. That's right.
And we need to stop pretending that it is okay.
Right.
To put the mask on and to not tell anybody. Because
right.
That's not how Jesus wants us to be. You know, Jesus, he came here for us, for each of us. He gave us all an opportunity to be able to live with him forever in heaven. He didn't come here to die on the cross and for us to stand still.
Right.
He actually says, go and make disciples.
Yeah.
Go. Like, go is a motion. It's not stay and make disciples. Go is a motion. So today, God is calling all of us to become rivers again. I'm not saying there's not some rivers in here, because I know there is. But I'm here to light the fire a little bit. Amen. God's calling us to become rivers. Yeah. So not, how am I going to phrase it and not, I'm just going to say it like it is. How does God want you to be? Individually, I'm not talking about all of us together. How does God want you to be? I can get some more answers. If you're going to be loving and obedient, are you going to do that from standing still? You've got to show it. You can say whatever you want to say out of your mouth. I can sit here all day and tell Randy Perkins, I love you, Randy, I love you, Randy, I love you, Randy. Yeah. But if I'm on the other side hitting him all the time and not showing him love, yeah, what's the point? So your words say one thing, but your actions are something else. Actions are moving. You've got to show it.
Yeah.
God wants all of us to pick up our mat and walk. He wants all of us to be like moving rivers, personally in motion, spiritually in motion. You know, rivers throughout the Bible, rivers and streams often symbolize God's blessings and grace. Just as waters refresh and nourish our bodies, these verses remind us of the spiritual refreshment that God provides. From the flowing rivers of life to the still waters of peace, every mention brings us closer to understanding his love and his guidance. Rivers also signify abundance and nourishment, reminding us that he is the source of everything good. Each mention of rivers reflects how God cares for our physical and our spiritual needs, just as rivers flow freely. God's love and provision never dries up. It's always there when we need it. Always. He never forgets us. He never fails us. He's always there. So as Christians, we should be continuously flowing. We should show God's love to others. We should nourish. We should be like a river that nourishes the land. We should nourish others spiritually, offering support and encouragement. And then rivers are also adaptable, so they adapt to their environments. So we should be teaching believers to be flexible and responsive to the needs of others and adapt to whatever's going on. Rivers flow, nourish, and provide life wherever it goes, and we must be the same way. The church must be like a river. Passionate about outreach and service, helping those in community, feeding the hungry, serving the poor, telling others about Jesus. We have to be that way. And yes, we need to be doing that on the inside, but we got to do that on the outside. The church is like a river that's alive in movement, alive with the Holy Spirit, always moving, always growing, always reaching new people. A church where new believers are constantly welcomed and where lives are transformed. That's what this is about. It's a community of believers. It's not about finding our cliques. It's not about finding our group of people and that's all we're ever going to be. No. It's about bringing more people in, welcoming people, and watching their lives being transformed. How's their lives going to be transformed? By us. They're going to be transformed by watching our lives and seeing how we are, see how we love. God uses us to show his love.
Amen.
Christians cannot be pawns. Jesus' vision for the church was never a stagnant gathering of people. He called us to go and make disciples, to be salt and light, to bring living water to the thirsty. There's not one time in this Bible that says that he went and that's all that he wanted and there was nobody else. I've got my group. This is it. 50 people, that's all I want.
Yeah.
Matthew 28:19 through 20 is the verse that he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So he says, go and make, and then he says, teach them to obey. It's not, okay, bring them in and let them go. We're supposed to teach them to obey everything that he's commanded. So you might be thinking, okay, this living water, what are you talking about, living water? What is that? The living water is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit flows through us, guiding, equipping, sending us out to bring life to others. The world is in desperate need of living water that only Jesus can offer, and the church should be the vessel. We should be the vessel that's out in the world giving. Yes, we're not the cure. God is the cure. But we should be the vessel that carries it. Yeah. The blessings that God gives us are to be shared, not hoarded. As God's provisions flows in us to bless us, he wants us to extend the blessing to others who are in need. A believer who acts like a river blesses their family, their church, and their community. God loves to pour into people who pour into others. While I was preparing for this sermon, I saw a story online that talked, it was about a preacher that talked about the two bodies of water in Israel. And we've got a picture, if you can see it. But he said, Israel has two inland bodies of water. The Sea of Galilee in the north, which is that, you can see it up there. He's got it pretty bright. The Sea of Galilee at the top up there. Sea of Galilee is in the north, and the Dead Sea is in the south. He told us that the Sea of Galilee is blue and beautiful. It has life and activity, but the Dead Sea is, well, dead. It's murky and smelly, lifeless, and surrounded by desert. The difference between these two bodies of water is that the Sea of Galilee, it gets water from the Jordan, you know, it flows out, it gets water from the Jordan River, and it flows on through, and then all of that ends up in the Dead Sea. So it just ends up in that blob there at the bottom. And it has no outlets, and it just sits there, and it goes stagnant. Unfortunately, as Christians, a lot of us are like the Dead Sea. A lot of us are taking it all in, give me, and then it stops there. God wants us to be like the Sea of Galilee. We must be full of life, taking in all that we can take in, and then giving out all that we can give out. We've got to be active and in motion. So if you were the only church that people saw, what would they see? Would they see a pond or a river? Would you be stagnant and lifeless? If you're going to be stagnant and lifeless, then why would they want to be a Christian? But if you're a river, which is what he wants us to be, full of life and love, helping those in need, but more importantly, being Jesus, then they're going to want to be you. They're going to be like you, not you particularly, but like you. They're going to want to be near you and understand why you handle things the way you handle them, why you're always like this, why you love this Jesus that you keep talking about. He wants us to be like living waters flowing freely to thirsty people that we encounter every day. Yes, there's a lot of thirsty people out there that we encounter. But you know, if we've got our blinders on, it's hard to see those thirsty people. Because I'm guilty of that too. We get also caught up in our own thing. And we've got to realize that we've got to be like flowing rivers. And just be aware of our surroundings and what's going on. And those that are around us that are so thirsty. Read a quote by Billy Graham. You know I love Billy Graham. He said, God gave us two hands. One to receive and the other to give with. We are not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for sharing. He gave us two hands. But a lot of us are only using one. Take. Take. Give me more. It's never enough. Give me more.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be like flowing rivers. It comes in one and goes out the other. So every Christian has a choice to keep God's blessings for themselves or to let the blessings flow. How was Jesus when he was here? What if he would have come and he was a pawn? What if Jesus would have came and he just stood there waiting for people to come to him? No. A lot of people would not have gotten saved. A lot of people wouldn't have been touched. Because they thought he was this crazy man, didn't know what he was talking about. So, but he knew that he could not be that way. Like, he was a flowing river. He came as a river, moving, full of life, impacting those around him. He went to others. He performed miracles. He saved all of us by dying on the cross.
Amen.
Everything that Jesus did was a form of movement. Everything he did was a form of movement. Can you say that? Can you say that everything you do is a form of movement? And I'm even going to add to that, a form of movement toward God. Form of movement could be going backward, and we don't want that. But are we all forms of movement going toward Jesus? So are you stagnant today? Do you mostly consume the sermons and the encouragement? You take it all in. Not that you're not appreciative of that, because we all need that. Are you a pawn? Or do you share? Do you serve? Do you pour into others like an overflowing river? Do you take it all in and then let it flow right back out of you, and your flowing river is just like he wants us to be? Really look at your life. And, you know, for me, I go through, sometimes I'm a pond, sometimes I'm a flowing river, you know. And this week, as I went through this, I'm like, Lord, I want to always be a flowing river. And we get so caught up in, and I said this a lot this week too, life is lifing. And it is so hard sometimes, but we've got to remember that he's always there. And when you are stagnant, he's telling you to pick up your mat and walk.
Absolutely.
Or he's meeting you at your well when you are so tired and worn out and ashamed. He meets you there, and he offers you that living water. So if the worship team will go ahead and come up, please. We're going to sing, Lord, I Need You. And I'm going to open the altar up. And I want you to think about it. Are you a pawn? Are you stagnant, unable to move? Or maybe you're like that man by the pool. You're sitting and you're wanting to give up. Guess what? Jesus will meet you there. He'll come to you just like he went to that man. Jesus doesn't have to be there. But he went to him. And he'll come to you the same way. My challenge for you, if you're there, if you're stagnant, if you're that pawn, ask God for help. Ask him to help you move. He will. He'll come offer his hand to you and help you up. He will tell you to pick up your mat and walk. Maybe you're a river, and there's some rivers in here, I know for a fact. Maybe you're a river, flowing and reaching others. My challenge to you is to become a roaring, overflowing river. Get out of your comfort zone. Reach out to more people. Help more people. Tell more people about Jesus. That's our job. Go and make disciples. Go and tell others about Jesus. Go. Get out of your comfort zones. Flow out of the banks. Touch as many people as you can, because our time here is short. And we've got to reach as many people as we can.